97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Glad you're back here with us. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Part of being in the Great Outdoors to me, Bo, is getting out on a skeet or a trap range every once in a while and trying out my skills. My dad was a really good trap shooter. My son is a really good trap shooter. They all joke that it skipped a generation.
It's all about the lead, right? It's all about the lead of the actual clay. Is that correct?
Well, it helps.
I've only done it a handful of times.
It helps. The really good shooters will teach you that it's all about that. You follow. You have to follow through. You don't stop moving the gun once you pull the trigger. And that and it also spreads out the spray when you do it of the pellets.
Oh.
So there is a skill to it. It takes a little bit of practice, and it's not like riding a bike, unfortunately. But
there's a couple of big events coming up in May, and we're going to talk about one of them right now. But I'm going out to St. Louis Trap and Skeet. I was invited as a guest because you're a member. You're a family member, right?
I am, yes.
Going out there Saturday of this weekend, so if you're listening to this after this, that moment, I'll tell you, I'm going to practice this weekend because I've got to with these other events coming up.
Yeah, you need to get a few rounds in for sure. That helps. But I'll tell you one place that it may not help you is in sporting clays. That's the event we're going to talk about now. My friend Chad Hansen is joining us, of course, of Hansen's Tree Service. And Chad, great to have you on again. How are you?
I am doing well, fellas. How we doing?
we're doing great. Listen, we appreciate your support of the radio station. Let me say that up front. Thank you for all that you do. Your dad was a great supporter of this radio station too, and I know this event that's coming up is the 8th annual Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation Sporting Clay event. It's going to be coming up on May 20th out in Old Monroe, Missouri at the Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve. Great facility up there. I've been out there with you quite a few times over the years. Tell us a little bit about the foundation. What are we doing with the money that's raised?
So the money that gets raised, try to keep it as local as we can. You know, my dad supported a lot of different local charities, but, you know, to name a few, I mean, we've spent some money with the Lindenwood University, the shooting team.
Yes.
We've donated to them. Smile Train, which my dad had a submucous cleft palate, so he had a soft spot in his heart for that type of, medical issues. So we've donated to them, a few other like local, elderly charities, and just try to keep the money, you know, as local as possible to help people in our own community, that we may, see every day.
Well, it's a great way to keep his memory alive. I appreciate what you guys have done. I know we've gone and shot some pheasants in the past, some bird hunting, and now we've kind of switched over to the sporting clays. But I was kind of joking with Bo about this, but you can trap shoot and skeet shoot all day, and it still may not help you on a sporting clay range.
Yeah, you know, they're all kind of their own different style of sport. So you get used to one, it doesn't mean you're good at the other, kind of, you know. I compare it to golf, but you know, it's kind of like if you're good at basketball, it doesn't mean you're gonna be good at golf. So they're all a little bit different.
Okay, for those that don't know, as I'm pointing to myself, a trap and skeet, I know what that is. What's sporting clay? Am I unaware?
Yeah.
Is this the one with the rabbits that run?
Yeah. So it is just a different variation. There's no trap and skeet. You know, those are set. So you either have targets that basically fly straight away from you, or targets that fly from right to left or left to right from you. Sporting clays is very much like golf. There's multiple stations that you walk around to, and each station, you know, is different. So there could be rabbits bouncing on the ground. There could be birds flying away from you, birds flying towards you, across from you, going straight up in the air, down at the ground. It's just, it changes at every station. So there's no, you know, there's nothing that's the same from station to station.
Yeah.
So I have done that twice in my life. And see, this is why I need to practice more. but are you saying that the trap and skeet is really not going to help me with sporting clays, or is it going to give me some familiarity?
Oh, it'll definitely give you some familiarity, for sure. I mean, trap and skeet, is great, and it's hard in its own right. depending on what level and distance you're shooting from. You know, so it'll definitely, there's definitely some things that translate from trap and skeet over into sporting clays and vice versa. But if you know, to say that you can be very proficient at trap and skeet and then go out there and expect the same proficiency without doing it or practicing it would be, I would say, a false statement.
Yeah, I was horrible at it.
Yeah. Also, I would add this, though. I just got a new shotgun, and it wasn't cheap. But I'm going to point out, when my son started trap shooting, Chad, years ago, he was down mm-hmm. on Team Hinges. And he's out there with my – he started out with my dad's probably – 35-year-old Browning shotgun, Remington. Maybe it was the Remington 1100 that he was shooting. And he came back to me after a couple of the competitions, and he said, "You know, Dad, I don't think my gun is good enough." He said, "There's people out here shooting, you know, $15,000 trap guns, and I don't think." And I'm like, "Listen, the pellets come out of the end of the gun. The point is, are you pointing it in the right place?" And eventually he got a little bit of an upgrade. We bought him a BT-99 at some point once he got better. But I made sure that he improved with that old shotgun first, because you can either point the gun the right way or you can't, and it's right. not always the equipment, right?
Wow.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can... You know, with getting a custom fit gun, I mean, that can help you a little bit. But I'll tell you, one of the best shooters that I know that I've ever seen, he's a multiple time world champion and also Olympic medalist. And I've seen him shoot a lot of clay birds with a Browning pump BPF and do absolutely amazing.
And if you can do it with a pump, man, and particularly on if you've got two birds you got to deal with, you got a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
No, that's correct. So it's not always the instrument. Like I said, if that were the case, I'd have new golf clubs every year.
So I'm playing with the same clubs I've had for 20 years, because I figure if Tiger Woods picked them up, he'd still play a hell of a lot better than I do.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for the semi-automatic 12-gauge sporting clay event to happen. That'd be a whole lot easier, because I think the one thing that threw me off on the sporting clays that I did up in, I think it was Defiance, was you had to break the gun down each time to throw in two new shells, and that to me was just, you know, we have technology for this. Can we do a semi-automatic?
Yeah, but you're still only getting two shots. I mean, that's the trap, you got one shot. Skeet, you got two shots. Sporting clays, you may shoot twice at the same station, but you're usually just getting a couple of shots. So yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It depends. Everyone is a little different, but I don't know. But Chad, I tell you, this is a great event. Tell people now, you've got sponsorships still available, because clearly the point here is not just to have teams come up there, but the more sponsors you get, the more money we're making for the foundation, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. So team spots are still available. Sponsorships are still available. You know, as many as we can get, you know, all the money goes right back into the community. We don't keep any of it. So it all goes right back in. You know, you can check out the Hanson's Tree Facebook page. We have information up there, as well as JeffHansonMemorialFoundation.com to get more information on it.
Yeah, we're going to have all the details up on our website at 971 as well, 971talk.com. We'll try to get that stuff up there, because you and I talked about it on my show this week, so I know we've still got probably the flyer up there. But again, it is the 20th of May up at Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve, and I hope people can show up, because it includes breakfast, and then we have the shoot, and then we have lunch afterwards, which is always outstanding, and there are lots of prizes given away in addition to some auction items, so that's good stuff.
Yeah, we always try to have a good full boat of fun activities and raffles, and like I said on your show the other day, we got the flamethrower we're raffling off this year with a couple other guns, so it should be a fun, a pretty fun raffle event this year.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Attention now.
Go ahead.
What's that? No, I was just going to say, how many in years past, how many shooters have you had? Because I know when we do our poker bash, it's like, okay, how many players did we have? Last year, can you give a number?
Last year, we were a little over 100 shooters. Right. So, but yeah, it was a pretty full house. And, you know, the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's great. And this is, I would say, a kind of a family-friendly event. We welcome kids as well. So we love teaching young ones how to shoot and how to get introduced to the sport.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's all part of it. Well, you know, I mentioned this earlier because obviously Chad is, his day job is Hanson's Tree Service, and you guys have been busy with all these storms moving through, huh?
We have been busy. The wind definitely keeps us hopping, so I feel like we're kind of just getting started, so we'll see what the rest of the spring brings.
Yeah, I love seeing your trucks running around, man. And you know, something has happened bad, and I'm sure you deal with trees on houses and things like that. But you guys are top notch in my book, and as far as tree service goes.
Well, I appreciate it. We try to do our best. There's a lot of challenges we face, but. We try to be good to the people that we work for and do a good job and just keep everything reputable.
Dangerous, man.
Yeah. No, it is. Yes, it is. It can be dangerous work. And, when you had me out there at your facility in St. Charles County, it was you can see the metal trees and stuff that you guys use for training, right, to train your folks
right.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, it is a very dangerous occupation. I don't think people realize, but we go back and forth with deep sea fishing and oil rigging for the most dangerous occupation in America. And I think last year we had our industry, unfortunately, had the most deaths per capita again last year. It's just there's a lot of unknown variables when you get into doing some of the work that we do. And, unfortunately, it's extremely dangerous. So we take training very, very seriously. All of our employees go through training programs throughout the year. We have a big steel tree that we basically fabricated together so we can teach people the basics in a kind of a controlled environment before we send them out there in a live tree that may have some unknown soft spots or dead spots or any other variables. So
wow.
It's a constant evolution of training.
It's a great point. And Chad, I should have warned you about this before I brought it up on the radio. So hopefully you're comfortable with me mentioning it, but we do Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors here. We talk about the shooting sports and stuff and trips all the time. You told me about a recent safari trip you were able to go on. Can you share some of those details with the folks?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was lucky enough to go on a safari, about a month ago in South Africa, and definitely a first for me and definitely quite the experience. It was, you never know what to expect. I'd heard all kinds of things, but man, it was so cool. I definitely plan to do it again, but I was able to get an impala, a zebra, and a warthog, and just the amount of animals that you see. I mean, you see a lot of animals over here in the States and, deer and elk and stuff like that. But, I mean, just the amount of animals that you see over there. I mean, it's nothing to see, hundreds of different animals throughout the day just by driving around in the back of their Jeeps. It's just incredible. So even if I didn't get to shoot anything, I mean, it was still an amazing experience. But the fact that I did, come home with three different animals was a blessing and something I look forward to doing again.
Yeah, and when you and I talked about, you don't have to mention the price you paid to do it, but when you and I talked about it, it was a lot less expensive than I envisioned.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, for what you pay for a good elk hunt in the States, you can go to South Africa and harvest several animals, and sometimes for even less. So it's not as outlandish as you think, just off the top of your head, because it's, half the world away. I always assumed that, but when I started looking into it, I was like, wow, I was shocked. This is actually somewhat affordable. Now, if you go over there and want to, shoot one of what they call the dangerous five, that's when the prices start going up. When you get into the rhinos and the lions, I mean, you're looking, significant money at that point. But if you want to shoot some of the more common, less dangerous game over there, it's very reasonably priced.
Yeah, and you don't have to get in a lottery.
And it's so important, too, because as I learned over the years, that the money that they have no tourism except for safaris and maybe a few other things, but that money is so important for fresh water and maybe electricity and food items, things like that. So really, it is a huge benefit when people want to say, yeah, I can't believe you shot that. No. This is what they do. This is the only way they can raise that money.
Well, especially in the areas, in South Africa, these countries all have different laws, and this is a major part of their economy. But I will tell you, just from a conservation and sustainment standpoint, I was amazed. These people are farmers. They take care of these animals, and they know the population that is on their property. And by law, they basically control the population. The government doesn't tell them what they can and cannot harvest, that they are in control of that population. So they make sure that their herds are well taken care of. They don't interfere with the natural life cycle, but you know, they don't allow people to hunt more than what they can sustain on the property. So, you know, I didn't see a massive lack of population of any of the animals, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great, but it sounds like a great experience. Chad, listen, looking forward to seeing you on May 20th, my friend. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and can't wait to see you out there.
Good stuff. Chad Hansen from Hansen's Tree Service, hansenstree.com, and we have more information on the Sporting Clay event coming up on my website there at 971talk.com. Good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a busy guy right there. I wonder how many employees he has, because you see their trucks all over
lots.
The place.
Yeah.
And heading out of town when there's, you know, danger in Arkansas or Kentucky or whatever. They're great first responders, if you will.
Working hard. Hey, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.